From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. The top Iranian nuclear official says Tehran will allow the UN nuclear watchdog to inspect a newly revealed and partially completed uranium enrichment facility. Vice President Ali Akbar Salehi reportedly made the announcement on state television today. He did not say when International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors would be allowed to visit the site. President Obama and other world leaders have accused Iran of hiding the underground facility for years. Israel today called for an unequivocal response from the West over the plant. The Israeli foreign minister says the revelation proves that Iran wants to develop nuclear weapons. The BBC's Paul Wood reports from Jerusalem.
Israel waited a day before making its official response to Friday's revelations about Iran's secret nuclear site. That was no accident. The Israelis seem to have stepped back while international momentum builds against Iran. The argument's going their way, after all. As Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman has now reiterated, the Israelis have always disbelieved Iran's claim to have a purely peaceful nuclear program. Israel is now looking for tough and concerted international sanctions, hoping that Russia and China will be brought on board by news of the secret facility at Qom.
The BBC's Paul Wood. It was another bloody day in Pakistan. 16 people were killed and more than 250 injured in two separate suicide attacks in the northwest part of the country, much of which is controlled by insurgents. The attacks underscore how the Taliban can still hurt civilians despite thousands of additional NATO and U.S. forces there and the death of the Taliban's top commander in Pakistan. G20 leaders departed Pittsburgh yesterday, vowing there would be no return to the reckless behavior that touched off the global financial crisis of a year ago. They issued a communique detailing some of the steps that should be taken to avoid that, as we hear from NPR's John Idstey.
The leaders called for curbs on compensation in the financial industry to rein in the risk-taking that might lead to another crisis. They urged an end to multi-year bonuses and endorsed a clawback of compensation if deals or investments go bad. They also called on banks to boost their capital levels, their cushions against losses, by 2012. The leaders approved a U.S. plan aimed at bringing more stability and balance to the world economy by eliminating big surpluses in some countries and deficits in others. The leaders also gave greater clout to emerging nations like China, India, and Brazil by designating the G20 the premier forum for global economic issues and by promising them a 5% increase in voting rights at the International Monetary Fund. John Idstey, NPR News, Pittsburgh.
The funeral for Yale University student Annie Lay was held in El Dorado Hills, California today. Lay was remembered as a brilliant woman who hoped to change the world with her medical research. This is NPR. Heavy rains are drenching northwestern Georgia, causing flash flood warnings in some areas. National Weather Service meteorologist Laura Griff says some places are getting as much as 2 inches of rain per hour. 6 inches of rain have already fallen today in some areas. Meantime, Georgia's insurance commissioner has doubled his cost estimate of flood damage, saying it's now going to cost about $500 million. This weekend in North Korea, a select number of families that had been divided since the end of the Korean War will meet briefly with long-lost relatives from the South. From Seoul, Dwali Saikautau has more.
A group of South Koreans, mostly in their 70s, has traveled to North Korea's Mount Kumgang, a resort not far from the heavily fortified border shared by the two Koreas. Nam Sung-uk of Seoul's Institute for National Security Strategy says reuniting families from the two Koreas is a priority for South Korea's President Lee Myung-bak.
The divided persons become older and older, and the death rate is increasing every year. And Lee Myung-bak emphasized the humanitarian problem solution. And therefore, the family reunion is urgent agenda.
The reunion, organized by Red Cross officials, will allow immediate family members to visit for only 3 days. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau in Seoul.
President Obama addresses the Congressional Black Caucus tonight here in Washington. Before becoming president, Mr. Obama was the only senator in the all-Democratic body. Cabinet secretaries have discussed with the caucus issues such as creating jobs and improving education. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.